Welcome to the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast, where each week, Samantha Johnston, brand developer to the creative and confused, and Nicole Hoagland, small biz and confidence coach to the creatives, are having entrepreneurs share their real stories and tips about their honest and authentic success in business and how they have been able to lead boldly by being themselves. They are creating a movement to show you how to create your own version of success and empower you to be beautifully bold in your business.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast. I'm Samantha.
And I'm Nicole.
Today, we're talking with Sasha. And Sasha is a redneck, barefoot, rum and tequila drinking Southern belle, still trying to figure out what she wants to be when she grows up. She knows that anything involving margaritas is a top choice. Raising a granddaughter, caring for a father who's living in her yard, and making sure her husband has clean underwear for all his travels keeps her busy. But she still scopes out recipes she'll never make on Pinterest, scrolls Facebook for old boyfriends, and pretends she knows proper English. She blogs and does all that social media stuff as lipstick, margaritas, and hairspray, and sells a few special creations at scatteredsasha.com. We'll be sure to include all of her links in the show notes. And let's get started. Hey, Sasha, thanks for joining us.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me.
So we like to get the conversation started by asking you, what was your kickstart moment? What got you going?
Well, I needed money for my phone bill and tequila, mainly. I'm old, for starters. That needs to be very clear. I'm probably older than most of the folks that you have on here, but I have done many, many things, and I was doing many, many things, and life changed. You know, that whole curveball gets thrown at you many times over the course of your life, and several things happened at the same time so that I had to stop doing the other things that were actually bringing in income. You know, for tequila and my phone bill. So I had to stop. My mama got sick. I had to move them up here. Now she's nine, but at the time she was starting school, and they're very particular about attendance. It's just crazy. You know, it's like, what do you mean she has to be there every day? Really? So the job I had was, I involved travel. And at the time, before all those things happened, I was able to travel, but life happened. Mama got sick. I brought them up here to live in my yard. They're not like staked out or anything. They have a trailer. And the kids started school. So I had to stop everything. And then I started this blog and the website and the Facebook page. I'm sorry. Lipstick, margaritas, and hairspray. And about, 8 or 9 months in, I said, I could use some money. So I decided, how could I monetize this whole Facebook thing and blog thing? And so I started selling a few things. So the ability to do that through Facebook was what I consider the kickstart moment. It would be phenomenal to be independently wealthy and not have to do that and just write for pure fun. However, the next time maybe I'll marry for money instead of love. But as it stands right now, you know, we're still in the same husband. So I'll probably be like still working. So that was the kickstart moment, for lack of a better description.
Oh my gosh. I love that. What everybody can't see, and what I think we kind of muted almost, but we tried, at least I tried, so that everybody could hear you, was Nicole and I are laughing as you're saying all of this, but in a very quiet manner. I just love your sass and your personality and everything that you say. You make it so colorful, and I can picture everything, all the details. So I love that.
I can picture the trailer in my dog lot. Right. Exactly. It's special.
Oh, man. What I love about what you just said, besides the sass and personality that Samantha just mentioned, is the fact that you truly just wanted to do this to see if you can make, you know, some type of income out of what you were already doing with the blog. Mm-hmm. So what kind of success have you seen just with doing the things you've been doing on Facebook and with the blog, you know, that you've actually like taken away as a win for yourself?
I've built the Facebook page up to a pretty good number, I think. It's always room to grow, but there are a couple of things. I have created a community on my Facebook page, and I don't do the other things. I don't do the other social media things. I don't Instagram or tweet or twit or work. I don't do any of those things. I only do Facebook. I'm sure there's a proper term for that, or the doing Facebook, but that's it. And there's a reason. That's all my old brain can handle. So I knew where I was going with that. Oh yeah. I have built a really good community with my fan base. I hate to even use that word. I see these people's names and their little profile pictures, so they're much more than just somebody who pops up in my feed. You know, I know about them. They've talked to me about themselves and their family. So that community that I've built is very special to me. It has allowed me to do the tour that I just finished, which I know we'll talk about later. But I try very hard to have things in my shop that are, they meet several criteria. First of all, they're exclusive. They're either something that I created or I thought of and had someone else create. They are inexpensive. I want things that everyone can afford. But the final, the win for me is back in September, I had wanted to create something that was inspirational, not necessarily in a religious way, but inspirational, so that you just, it was affirmation that you felt good. If you knew someone that needed something to make them feel good about themselves, this thing, whatever it was, could be it. After I worked through a lot of details, I came up with the Unbreakable Tokens. And it's just a little piece of wood that has the word Unbreakable on it. And it, I've sold over 1,000 of those. And the stories that I got from people about the people they sent them to, either through me or themselves, or the reason they got them was, I mean, I hesitate to use the word life-changing, but it truly was. It changed the way I thought that I had, and again, I hesitate to say I have the power, but because of the numbers on social media, I had the ability to reach a lot of people, and I really wanted to go in that direction. So I have created the You Look Wonderful campaign and the Keep Being Fabulous campaign and the products to go with it. And the Unbreakable still is there. I don't focus on it as much. But to me, that was a huge win to be able to do that and to reach so many people and to get the emails and say, you changed this situation.
I love that. Especially, I mean, how great of a validation for you to be able to get those emails from thousands of people from a simple idea that you had that ended up manifesting in a small piece of wood that they just sent to someone that they either knew needed it or they were sent it to by someone. Right. So, I mean, the fact that you took that idea and actually made it into success, well, not like a huge, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, those thousands of people were still touched by you because you actually took the time to make sure you wanted to make that change. And from there, it spawned all of those other things that you said. So right. It's amazing how, you know, one thought and one simple, small idea can really have a huge impact on people.
And I heard that a lot. And it had a huge impact on me. I say that as well. They've changed the way I think too.
And, you know, I think that's just so encouraging. Just even the story, I think that the impact spreads much further than just the tokens and the people that received them, but hearing the impact it had for them and the success that you saw in that one little idea, how it became such a bigger thing, is encouragement for those who want to create an impact like that, that they can do something so simple and it still affect a large number of people and produce that change. So we talked a little bit about your sass and your personality in the beginning. How much, because I think that's a huge part of how different you are to most people. You're kind of that sarcastic and quick-witted personality. How has that helped you to succeed?
I think I say a lot of things that people want to say, perhaps. I will say something or create a meme or something and people say, oh my gosh, I didn't know that happened to anyone else. That's happened to me all the time. And when you resonate with a lot of people, it's like you're not different anymore. It makes them feel like, hey, I'm not the only one that this happens to. So I don't know that we all are that different. On the flip side of that, I think people look to the way I am as, I wish I could say that, but she'll say it for me. Sort of. And I am not afraid of anything, which is not necessarily a really good feature to have. Afraid of running out of tequila, but other than that, you know, I just have no fear. So maybe that's it. I don't know. That's maybe not a good thing either.
I think it's a fabulous thing, because I think especially for a lot of our listeners and a lot of the people that I have encountered in the entrepreneurial world, fear is a huge block for most of us. So the fact that you don't have that block and almost don't have the filter that comes along with that block.
That would be true. There's no filter. I missed that. I was in the bathroom when that was handed out. I missed the filter completely, and they are sold out always when I try to get one, or they're really out of date. But let me speak to the fear, if I could, for just a moment.
Of course.
First of all, I'm old, okay? I am 53 years old. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, wore it out, got another one. So what I would say to, I know this is coming later, I don't follow rules very well either. I can barely take suggestions. The best thing that I would say to someone who is afraid of something, and I hate to quote Nike, however, and I say just do it, but that's too broad. What I want to tell them is you're going to screw up. No doubt about it. You are going to make mistakes. And guess what? You're going to make more than one. Own them and say, that was wrong. Perhaps I should do it differently next time. Because what I've told my children, birthed or not, is every time you make a mistake, if you didn't learn from it, then it was worthless. You have to go make it again. So learn from it and say, that was wrong. I had a lot of things in my shop that failed miserably. And I said, shouldn't sell those again. I'm old, but I ain't stupid. So you just have to accept that, you're going to screw up and you need to try anyway. And you're right. The fear holds you back. And what's going to happen? Well, I don't have any idea. I guess I'll see when I do it. And, is the worst thing, are these people going to kill me? Okay, probably not. First of all, I'm armed. Secondly, I have really good deadbolts, So they're not going to kill me if I make a mistake. Learn from it and go on.
Oh my goodness. I love everything that you just said. And I need to compose myself. I think start going. But like you basically look fear in the face and just say, you know what? You don't have power over me. And if you did, I've got my gun in my bag anyway. Kind of let's tango. It's really good advice to give people. You're going to mess up. You're going to make those mistakes. And if you don't learn from it, the fact that you said to go do it again and figure out what you actually can learn from it. I mean, the fact that you actually said that, first off, I love, because I don't think I've heard anyone ever tell me, go make that mistake again and see what you learned from it. But I think people love that about you is because you don't have that fear and you don't have that filter. But you also inspire them to maybe not necessarily be so bold like you, but maybe open up that door a little bit to be just a little bit more bold in their own right, to be comfortable with kind of saying what they want to say and not having a fear of being kind of this stuck up entrepreneur that they feel like they have to embody. So I really love everything about you.
Well, thanks.
My cheeks and my belly are hurting over here.
Hey, that's my exercise routine.
Yes, I'll just talk to you every day and that'll be it.
Hey, I'm live every day.
No, I absolutely love it. And I've always had, I don't always follow my own advice, but the one piece of advice that I try to give when it concerns fear is, what's the worst that can happen? If you're asking somebody, like right now, us, asking people to be on our podcast, what's the worst that can happen? They can say no. Is that going to kill me? No.
Right.
No, it would suck, but
they're lost.
No, try again. So I love that you say that, because really that's the thing that I think holds everybody back, is they think, oh, but I could fail. Okay, but what's the worst that happens? You're not going to die because you failed. You'll figure it out and move on. So I absolutely love that. And it's just a very, very bold way of looking at things and just straightforward. So with all of this, I'm curious, have you ever had a moment where you had some sort of like negative self-talk, where maybe you didn't think you could do this, or you thought what you were doing wasn't right, or I hate to use the word stupid, but...
Well, I use the word stupid a lot. It's okay. It's mainly toward other people, but no, it's not. Absolutely. Good Lord, yes. We'll talk about the tour in a minute. But when I look back and think that I pulled this off, I'm like, holy snap. How did I do that? But typically, I'm not an analytical person. That's my husband. I married an engineer to get help with math homework, because I do not math. I haven't told him that publicly lately, so let's not mention that. Anyway, don't listen to this. It's okay. So absolutely, I am a planner to the nth degree when I know what I'm doing. However, if I don't know what I'm doing, which I would not necessarily think this would be good advice to follow, just FYI, I'm not a planner. I just go forward and like, let's see how this works. So guess what? Doesn't all the time. In the beginning, sometimes you go, how can I do this? And if I think too much about it, there are lots and lots of reasons why you can't. But if I just go and do it and try to figure it out along the way, 9 times out of 10, it works itself out. And I am not opposed to making a left turn or a right turn or turning around and going backwards if I need to make whatever it is work. Now, with all that said, people feel compelled to tell me again on Facebook that I'm stupid sometimes. It's a special thing. Bless your hearts. They feel compelled to tell me lots of things I'm doing wrong. And that's why God invented the delete button. So I don't listen to them, because I just don't have time for that. I have way too many other, my lists are long, 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 long. So do I have self-doubt? I will come back to the question, I promise. On occasion, but I don't have time for it. The things I want to do are way, way, way bigger than this self-doubt or this person that is saying, you can't do that. what are you talking about? You can't do that. Sit back and watch, big boy. Because yes, I can. I might not succeed at it, but I can do it.
I absolutely love that. I mean, and it sounds like...
I should write that down. Sorry.
Oh, I know. That is totally quotable. But it sounds like almost to the extent that you're saying, just stop overthinking it. Just get out, do it. And that a lot of the self-doubt that a lot of us impose upon ourselves is because we're just overthinking everything. And we need to stop.
It's like you can't get started because you've thought too much about where the starting line is. Mm-hmm. I skipped that line long ago. I stepped on that puppy. It was way back there. And I'm like, oh, well, sorry about that. I'm going to go ahead now. So just, again, to quote Nike, just do it and try to swallow down that fear and see what happens. I tell my 9-year-old when she's afraid to go in her room, just stand in the door and look. Let's start there and then take one step inside. So it doesn't work with her, but it might work with him.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that you just go out there and do it and you're a very action-oriented person would make complete sense that this fear and the self-doubt really kind of manifests later on after you've already started doing it so it doesn't bother you. And, you know, that you break it down into these really small steps so it doesn't seem like it's this big, you know, unattainable goal that you have. It's just, well, if I want to do this, what's the first thing I have to do? Okay, I'm going to go out and do it and see what happens.
Absolutely. I am very much about what do I have to do today? Absolutely. I have the bigger picture over here, but what do I have to do today? What is today's list?
Mm-hmm.
And then I wake up tomorrow and do tomorrow's list.
And not being afraid to move something from today's list to tomorrow if it's
absolutely
really-
Hey, didn't get that done. Guess what? Got a head start on tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. So now, because we've already talked about your background and what inspires you, I really want to know about this tour. So please tell us all about this.
You know, typically a tour would indicate more than one location. Ever, because I don't follow the rules. I just skipped that part and only had one location on my tour this year, which was home for me. So here's how it all kind of fell into place. For a good year, folks on my page were like, oh, can we meet? We want to meet and we want to do this. And I would go someplace and I'm very open about where I am, what I'm doing. Oh, I'm close by. Can we meet? So this kind of just kept happening. And I thought, can I really do this? I did think about that for a moment because I have a worldwide fan base and I would love to go to Switzerland, but you know, I don't think that's feasible for a meet and greet. So I said, I can do this. I can do a meet and greet. So I called my best friend and I said, hey, what you doing next summer? Because this was like last year. Let's just get on the road for 2 weeks and just go around and meet people. And she said, why don't we start with one event near home first? I'm like, see, that's why we're best friends. You have a great idea. See, that's why you reined me in a little bit. So we went to the big city to try to find a venue and they were crazy. And so I just came back home to the tavern that we go to every Friday night and I called them up and I'm like, hey, can I have like 100 people here on Saturday, July 16th, she said, sure. And I'm like, great. So I was born and I called it the meet, greet, eat and drink, which in hindsight, it's not really a good name. So as I kept saying that and I found the location locally, someone of the fans say, oh, it should be the Google and Snort Tour. I'm like, oh my God, that's it. So it became the Google and Snort Tour. And I, again, went blindly in and I've learned so much. See, I learned so much. I had the Google and Snort Tour. I had the fees, you know, the admittance, the charge, whatever, to get in. Yeah, you know, whatever you call that thing. Ticket. That would be it. So I did that. And then someone said, well, gosh, it's a long way to come for just one afternoon. I'm like, oh, hey, I could do something Friday night. Yeah, let's do that. So backwards I go and say, I added a paint night for Friday night. My best friend is an art teacher and teaches art classes. I'm like, hey, can you like work with some painting people that are drinking? Sure. So we added Friday night. And then I said, well, gosh, I can't send them away without biscuits and gravy and bacon. So we added a Sunday morning breakfast. So yeah, this is how my brain works in all these directions at all times. Squirrel. So I said, let's just have this tour. And then here's what happened. People started buying tickets. I'm like, holy crap. A lot of people started buying tickets. I'm like, this is really cool. I should probably make some plans. So people kept saying, people who don't know me, that makes sure, it wasn't like strangers came up and asked me, but you know, people that don't follow my page really, in I have like a real life, there are people out there who don't follow me on my page, which I just don't understand. But anyway, they would say, well, what is a Google and Snort tour? And then you have, well, let me see how I can explain this to you. It's going to be a bunch of women and we're going to be drinking and eating and there'll probably be some dancing and there's going to be some door prizes. My shop will be there and there's going to be a photo booth. And of course you get the blank stares like, okay, But the funniest thing is when I would go places, this was, and I'm backtracking, find that shocking, I know. When Lola and I were looking for the venue in the big city, quotation marks for you listeners, the big city, we would go to these places, these big fancy places where people thought they were special. And I'd say, yeah, I'm looking for a venue. I've got about 100 people. And the cute little manager guy who's like 28 says, who's coming to town? And Lola would point at me and say, her. And I would say, I know, I'm as surprised by this as you are. Trust me. But these people want to come. I get it. I know it's really confusing. He never called me back. I don't understand that. But anyway, so having a definition for what the Giggle and Snort Tour is one of my goals before the next one kicks off. And the next one, because I'm going to be traveling to different cities, I know I won't have my home base, my girlfriends who can run the shop and run the registration booth and do all this. Maybe they'll want to travel for, you know, 5 weekends out of the month. I gotta have to ask them. Anyway, I know that I need to do different things in bigger cities, and I'm gonna have to really count on the venues to help me. The book will be done. It will be done. It will be done. It will be done. But I will probably hesitate to use the word be the speaker. I hate that. So I'm just gonna tell stories, which I can do all day long. And that will be a feature of it. Then we'll have a party, and then there'll be a book. There'll be the books available, and the tickets will maybe include. I don't know. It's all a work in progress continually. So I'm not even sure if I answered the question what the tour was, but it was a whole lot of fun for about 85 of us. We got together. They painted Friday night. Saturday, we ate, drank, and danced and sang and took a lot of pictures.
Yeah, no, that answered it completely. It basically sounds like a weekend party with like your closest best friends, just being able to get to know each other and bring people together, which I mean, I know our audience would love because it just brings the sense of community home. Mm-hmm. Because you're able to actually get out there and meet these people that have been fans of you for so long.
You know, one of the folks came up to me Saturday night and said, I want to thank you for introducing us to new lifelong friends. And that's pretty big. I had another one send me an email and say, you know, I have anxiety. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to get out. But at 3:00 in the afternoon, I was dancing with complete strangers in the tavern and I just didn't care. I had another lady who never leaves her home. She traveled 6 hours by car to come to my tour. And that to me, I almost cried, you know? I'm like, wow, I better be on it. That kind of community that I've built there is overwhelming sometimes when I think about it. And I just feel so honored and humbled that they traveled to have this fun party and they want to do it again. I mean, we talk all the time about where's the next one going to be. I'm like, I don't have any idea, but I'm working on it.
I mean, you just have such an impact on the people around you that let you into their daily lives. And our audience can't see it, but we can see the smile and like pure joy that just comes off of you when you talk about this. And I mean, the fact that you're already starting to not necessarily plan, but the idea of having more, you know, tour dates and whatnot. I know when you actually have one, if you ever come to Nashville, I am more than happy to help out.
Oh, Nashville's on the list, girlfriend.
Yeah. So I'm already volunteering. I will sell your
book. Let me just make that note. Nicole said she would help. Okay.
So one of the things I do want to ask you, though, because you have such a big heart and you have so much joy that you do in everything that you are accomplishing right now, what are some of the values that you bring to your business?
That's a tough question. You know, I want it to be real. I don't know where that falls in the value of things, but people tell me a lot of times, you are just so real. Good Lord knows, I couldn't fake anything if I tried. But I want them to know, and I think authentic is so overused and I'm very done with it. But this is really it. You know, I really feel this way. And if they've seen me get emotional, that is really me. And I feel strongly that the things I have in my shop are affordable. And the things I post, I'm very, very aware that it's not anything that is offensive or not safe for work or any of those things. So the authentic real person, for lack of, I just don't like those words really because I think they're overused, but that's what I want to bring to the business. The fact that anybody can do this, really, really. You know, if I can make this happen, I truly think that anybody can. Honesty, you know, I'm a very honest person and I despise it when someone has lied to me or just makes things up, which they do that sometimes. I don't understand it, but they do. So those are a couple of things that come to mind.
Oh, I love it. And one of the things I noticed and picked up on too, is you just have such a Like, you're very compassionate. Like, you're very much in tune with not only what you are wanting to bring to the table, but what your audience would like you to bring or expect you to bring. I don't know. You're just a very open and, I hate to say authentic because I know you don't like the authentic.
That's okay. You can say it. Yeah,
you just are. So I really thank you so much for sharing that because I know our audience is definitely going to like hearing it.
You know, I'm right there with you. As much as I feel like authentic is an overused word, real is right there behind it because it's the one we all substitute in because we can't think of another word. Mm-hmm. I think I would even venture to extend that and say that I feel that the type of authenticity and realness that you bring is that raw and unfiltered, just mm-hmm. unmasked person. You are just purely 100% you, and there, you know, you don't change from interaction to interaction or topic to topic. It's just Sasha.
Sometimes I put on makeup, but that's about it.
That's just Sasha in color. Yeah,
that's right, Sasha in color. Oh, I like that. In the mornings, my videos, my live videos at 8-ish in the morning are often bedhead, no makeup. I try to get the mascara out from under my eyes when I'm having coffee. And the funniest thing, once for a long time last year, I was taking a snapshot of my bedhead and posting it or posting a story or something. And then because I'm lazy, I said, hey, I can just video this and I won't have to, like, you know, do a lot of stuff. So I started recording the video of the mornings, and then Facebook was generous enough to give us Facebook Live. So I immediately switched to live. Well, here's the funny thing that happened when they switched to live. You know, someone posts a funny meme and your cousin shared it and you liked it, and then you liked that page, but that was 2 weeks ago and you don't even know what the page was. But you're on Facebook at 8 a.m. on the way to work, and this Hank scrolls by live talking, and you're like, what in the wide world of sport? Who is this person? And that has happened to me so many times. I'll be doing the live feed at 8-ish a.m. with bed head and looking kind of rough, and somebody will say, who are you and why are you on my screen? I'm like, eh, well, you might want to unlock that button. I can't help you. So that has been absolutely a riot. And like 48 people will say, it's Sasha. Don't you know who this is? But yeah, I bet they're surprised when it rolls through. Yeah. I don't remember liking this page. Who is this woman?
I love it.
Just a Hank in color.
Yeah. And I remembered the word I was actually going to use that wasn't authentic. And it finally came to my mind like 5 minutes later, like it always does. But it's genuine. Like, you were just very genuine.
That one's good.
That's a good word. We can all agree on that one.
We'll check it later. It's good.
Okay. So as we wrap up, we like to end with a fun question, and we change it up each session. And so today we'd like to ask you, if there was a movie produced about your life, who would play you and why?
Other than me?
Yes, other than you.
Because, yeah, I'd be playing me. It'd have to be Delta Burke, I think. Can't y'all see that?
Yes, can. I can. Our listeners can't. But
we can.
They can check it out on the
website. That's right. It would be Delta Burke. I can, you know, Suzanne Sugarbaker, and actually Julia mixed in with her would be the one.
So I like to extend this question and ask, what would the movie be about?
Oh, it'd be like Sasha Cam. I don't even know, you know, barefoot redneck trying to figure out what in the world's going on. You know, my husband works for a very large company. He travels all over the world all the time. And at the Christmas party last year, oh my Lord, at the Christmas party last year, I was dressed up nice. I had on like hose and everything. And we sat in the back because that's really the best plan for us to sit in the back. That way our comments don't carry quite all the way to the front. And at one point, somebody new to the company came over to sit with the happy table and brought his wife. And good Lord, I hope nobody's listening to this that knows us, but I'll share it with everybody. Huh. And she is talking about just how much fun we are and all this stuff. And the husband's like, I was over at that other table and all the wives, because I was running my mouth, I didn't find that shocking. All the wives were all quiet, and I get over here and your wife is like wide flipping open. Yep. Pretty much by not having a Christmas party this year. I'm sure it has nothing to do with us, but you can't take me anywhere. So I don't know what the movie would be about other than, you know, redneck Southern Belle. Here we are.
Oh my gosh. You said Sasha Cam when you started to describe that. And yeah. I was like, it's the redneck version of Blair Witch.
There you go.
And I can just, I just saw laughter ensuing and just running around chasing after you.
Hold up. Like, look, we got to have a come to Jesus meeting. Could you get with it? I have not have time for this.
That is seriously a movie I want to see. Well, thank you so much for this and for my exercise for the day, my cheeks and my belly. Thank you. We're so happy you joined us. This is fantastic. Absolutely had a great time. And for all of you listening, you can join us over at beautifullyboldpodcast.com to find the show notes and over at the Beautifully Bold in Business Facebook group to continue the conversation. So thanks so much for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
Let's get you leading beautifully and boldly in your life and business. Head on over to beautifullyboldpodcast.com for more information about this episode, show notes, and resources on how to be beautifully bold in your business. There you can also learn more about the two beautiful women behind the movement. If you liked what you heard today, then head on over to iTunes and leave Nicole and Samantha a review. It's the little things that can have a huge impact, and your review would mean so much to them. This music is provided by bensound.com.